that you may be saved and satisfied and sheltered in the last day, I would like to turn you to a verse that's at the very heart of the gospel. I want you to read, please, in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah, please, in the Old Testament. And I want you to turn to chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm going to read just one verse, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now I would like to read it again. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now God will bless the reading of his word. I could give you tonight three reasons from this verse as to why there should not be a single soul in heaven. The first reason is this: the word transgression. Now that word needs to be faced by each one. It's a word that unfolds the past of my sin. It touches upon the deeds, touches upon the action, it touches upon the thoughts that are past, that have inevitably and inescapably fallen short or overstepped the righteous, holy law of a holy God. There won't be a soul tonight in our meeting would deny that they have a record of sin. That record is a record, in some cases, it's short. Children are young. In some cases, there are not many, one would say, bad sins upon us, as we call them bad, socially. In other cases, the record is deep and dark and dreadful. I'm not concerned with the difference in the record. I'm concerned tonight with the fact that every one of us have got a record of sin. And if we got what we deserve, we would be in hell and a lake of fire. That's the word, transgression. The second reason is in the word iniquity. That unfolds not just the past of sin, that touches the power of sin. That's the twistedness of my character. Not my conduct alone, but the fact that I am under the power of sin, and that it has affected my thinking, has affected my acting, it's affected me. And it's forming a character that's fashioned for the flame. I would be eternally in hell. Those are dark words. Those words that speak of the record of sin, that speak of the ruin of sin. But there's another word. It's the word chastisement, which is basically the word punishment, which brings me face to face with this. It's the penalty of sin. And that's a word that makes me tremble. The penalty of sin, night after night, we have told it out. The wages of sin is death. In this very section of the book of Isaiah, you have an echo that runs through the chapter. Most will know that the last 27 chapters of this book are divided into 3 9s. And at the end of each 9th chapter, there's an echo that says, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. And the last section speaks of a flame and speaks of a worm. It speaks of the punishment that is due to my sin. I'm putting these three together. Can't you see unfolded the condition of the sinner? There's the record of the past. There's the ruin in the present. There's the result that will come when I stand, as has been presented to our hearts tonight, at the great white throne and find myself before the judge and opening before him the record of earth to show how I have behaved, my condition, my conduct and my character, and to find opening before me that lake of fire. Oh, soul, tonight in God's name, we ask you to look at the condition of the sinner and allow the truth of it to reach my very heart. I'm that sinner and I deserve to be in hell. But thank God, there's another side to the picture, and it's this. Prophet takes up the theme and he said, I'm bringing you face to face now with another subject. Not the condition of the sinner. I'm going to present to your heart the cross of the Savior. It's introduced with these words, but he. And my heart says, who is this person of whom the prophet speaks? And I need to turn back over the pages of Isaiah's ministry. And in chapter 7, I listen. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And I see that this person of whom he speaks is God. Is God with us. He is the one who'll come from the very throne of God, the very Son of God. And he's going to step down into time. The virgin birth of my blessed Lord. He is the Son. Then I turn another page to chapter 9 and I read, behold, in connection with the child, the son given, the child born, government shall be upon his shoulder. Call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here's the Sovereign of the universe. He stepped down into time. This is the one who has come. Blessed be his name. But I turn a few more pages and I hear God say, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. He's the very servant of God. He's sent to do a work. And my heart begins to ask, why did God send his son? Why did he allow the sovereign of the universe to step down to earth? Why did this servant have a work to do? And I come to chapter 53. And my gaze is fixed upon one on a cross. Now I see him as the sufferer. And I look at his sufferings on that tree. But he was wounded. And I pause to look at the wound of the man who hangs on Calvary's dark tree. I look at those pierced wounds that resulted from the thorn being beaten in on his brow. I look at the contused wound where they battered his face with the Roman fist. I see the lacerated wounds of a back that was ripped with a Roman lash. I see the hands that were pierced by the nails to Calvary's tree. And I see the side that was ripped by a Roman spear. And I hear the words of the prophet, but he was wounded. And I bow my head, but that's not the end. He was bruised. That takes me internal. That word bruised is the word that speaks of the corn being crushed between the millstones as they begin to turn. and it takes me into the inward being of my sinless Lord on Calvary's dark cross when He suffered on account of sin. He was bruised. Do you ever ask your heart, why did God permit Him to be bruised with the Lord that bruised Him? In Calvary's darkness, and in Calvary's distance, and in Calvary's deep, He was bruised. He was wounded. He was bruised. The chastisement of our peace, that's the punishment that our peace demanded. It's judicial. This is amazing, isn't it? That heaven stands appalled, angels bow, when darkness clothes this scene with night. And in Calvary's darkness, the sword of divine justice is unsheathed and plunged in Jesus' breast. The stroke that should have found the rebel is laid upon the head of the submissive one. The sinless one becomes the sin bearer for man, for guilty man, for hell-deserving man. Oh, the love of God. Oh, the matchless grace that provided the substitute, that sent His Son. There in Calvary's awful pain, the stroke was laid upon Him. He died that men might live. He was wounded. He was bruised. Chastisement of our peace, punishment our peace demanded, it fell on Jesus' head. In Calvary, and in its darkness, my heart asks the question, why was He there as the bearer of sin? I recognize He was dealing with sin's past, transgression. I see He was dealing with sin's power, its iniquity. I see He was dealing with sin's punishment, its penalty, in the darkness of Calvary's cross. And I say, but how can it benefit me? And this brings me to the third note in the verse. Condition of the sinner. The cross of the Savior. But now here is the claim of the saved. This is the language of faith, please. This is the language of faith that gazes upon a cross. It takes in what the Christ has done. Faith, in its very apprehension, grasps that act that Christ has done. Now listen to the word. I want you to get a glimpse of faith. But He, and then come down the chapter, down the verse, we are He. But He, we are He. That's the glimpse. That's lifting my eye from myself and from my sin, fastening it upon the substitute on yonder cross. And the truth dawning on my heart, what He did was vital. What He did was enough. There's people think that their repentance is salvation. That's not scriptural. Some people think that faith, that they could work up enough faith, is salvation. That's not scriptural. Salvation depends only upon what Christ has done. Not on my tears, not on my trying, not on my effort, sincere though they may be. That self-occupation, all the fitness you require, He requireth, is to know your need of Him. It's not the depth of repentance. It's not how deep my tears, Not one of those things can meet the claims of God. If I'm occupied with Him, He did it. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. It's done, please. It's done. It's finished. He did it completely. Anything more? But He, we, that's the glimpse of faith. But let me point out to you the grammar of faith. He was wounded. We are healed. My, there's gladness in the tents. It's all finished. He was wounded. Oh yes, Calvary's darkness is past. Calvary's depths have been plumbed. Calvary's doom has been borne. Jesus is alive tonight, the mighty Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come. So tonight, can you not see it? He did it. He was wounded. Down through the stream of time, souls have been healed. We are healed. That's the Old Testament word for saved. We're saved. Oh, praise His name. He did it all on Calvary's dark cross. There's the glimpse of faith. That's the person. The grammar of faith brings me down to the present. You know, there's the grasp of faith. What's that? Our iniquities? That's too big. My, that's too big for my poor heart. I have to put in my claim and say, my iniquity. Oh, my dark sin. My dreadful past. My iniquity. Look, please, at yonder cross and see what Jesus bore. My transgression. My iniquity. My pain. Jesus did it. Did it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Could you not take it in tonight? It is enough that Jesus died. That He died for me. That's salvation. That's how it comes. That's how it will come to Israel as a nation in a day to come. But that's exactly how it comes to men. The same faith grasps the fact of what Christ has done. The claim I put in, my iniquity, my transgression, that's my peace He made. My fears are gone. My sins removed. I'm saved. Oh soul, tonight if we could only bring you here. Stop looking in. You look in at your inward fears and feelings, you'll stay there till the day you die. But you look out to yonder cross. Say, it was for me, yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free, O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord the King, and you'll be saved on that very saint. Here's the last note. By His stripes. By His stripes, by all that He bore on yonder tree, not by my ceremony, not by my tears, not by my repentance, by His stripes we are healed. If you tonight could grasp the danger of your position, you would see the deliverance of His passion. You would say, that's enough. I'm saved. I'm going to quote the verse. And if it's the last word that you hear from my voice, may God write it on your heart and bring you to the Savior. But, stop there. But, all the doubts, all the difficulties, all resolve, but He, get the eye off self, but He was wounded. You could put in. For my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace on him. With his stripes, I am healed. You'll be able to tell us at the door, God saved you in the meeting. You trusted Christ for sin. May God help you.